Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is episode 38, Casada Oktoberfest, or we're tired of drinking whiskey and it's time to get back to some good old beer. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon. We're broadcast live on CigarFederation.com, Cigar Federation app, YouTube, and of course we're picked up on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks very much for all listeners in the Armed Forces Radio Network. And I couldn't be, I'd be remiss to not include our podcast listeners. I know you guys are out there in droves, although you are shy with the emails. We do appreciate you checking in from time to time listening to our show. I am joined, as always, with my co-host who loves beers, Robbie Rass. Rob, what's going on, brother?
I do love beer. I really do. Yeah, no, and these are, I'm excited. Like, fall is my favorite time of year. It's, you know, football starting, baseball playoffs, World Series. I don't even care who's playing. I'm totally watching because I don't think the Giants are going to be playing in it this year. You can't go every year, you know. I mean, you got to give other people a chance.
It just gets tired if you go every year, you know. Yeah. It's like, it's not that special anymore.
Yeah, so we every other year plan. Other than finding out that I have to go to jury duty tomorrow, everything's great, man.
Yeah, that sucks. You just got to tell you have an important podcast show that millions of listeners around the world are entitled to. And, you know, you're supporting our troops, and really, I mean, you just tell the judge, listen, do you hate our troops? Is that, because it sounds like you hate our troops.
That's what it sounds like. No, you're right. That's a good idea. I should use that. No, I don't mind doing my civic duty. I really don't. I just, the timing this time is bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we've got plenty of beers. We've got a guest. Let's move forward.
So, of course, we are joined by none other than Terrence Riley of Casada. We've kept him waiting. Terrence, what's going on, brother?
Just living the dream, guys. Just living the dream. You know, like you guys said, it's fall. Oktoberfest season is upon us. Playoffs, football starting. Again, being a New England fan, I'm very used to success and championships.
Uh-oh.
And victory. So this is a great time of year for me.
You know, that's the second New England fan we've had on the show, and I'm just going to preface it up front so you can verbally abuse me later. I'm a Jets fan. I apologize in advance. What else am I going to say?
You don't have to apologize because your team's bad. It's not your fault.
As a fan of the team, I feel like it's my fault.
I'm not apologizing for being a 49er fan, and they've half the team got arrested, the other half retired when they were 22. Like, I don't know what's going on.
The 80s was a great time for you. You had a great run.
Oh man, it was awesome. I was like 10, 11, 12. It was great. It was great. Even the last few years, up until last year, were really good.
A pretty good run.
You come within a few plays of the Super Bowl a couple of years, and then within one play of winning it, and then everything imploded with like the worst possible offseason. Short of someone dying, like I don't know what else bad could have happened, but this is not what we're here to talk about.
I've got us way off topic. I should have saved the NFL talk for the end, but we're here to talk about some Casada Oktoberfest, specifically the delicious 2015 edition Oktoberfest, which I have not had. And now this is the slight box press, and I've forgotten the name of it, but it's
Kaiser
awesome.
Kaiser Ludwig. I'm drinking it as well.
Kaiser Ludwig. Yeah, it's good. It's very good.
So Terrence, give us a breakdown on this one. Tell us a little bit about the blend. I know there's a couple of limited edition versions as well. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, do you want specifically this year? Do you want me to start from the beginning and kind of explain how this came about and all that kind of thing?
Just start from wherever you feel comfortable starting.
All right, I'll just throw the whole thing out there.
There it is.
Again, 2011, we decided to do something to pair with beer. Again, there's a lot, it's very common to pair cigars with rum and scotch and bourbon and cognac and those type of things. But I think beer, although it's growing tremendously, was kind of a novelty in terms of being paired with cigars. And it's also part of the whole craft beer wave where there's so much great stuff out there now. And I'm a huge beer fan myself, as we've discussed. So we wanted to do something for Oktoberfest. Oktoberfest Marzen style beer, and it was very hard work. What we did is we smoked cigars and we drank beer, and we came up with a blend that we thought would work well with Marzen style beer. I volunteered. I'm a giver, you know. It's
part of Thank you for sacrificing for us. We appreciate that.
For science.
And so what we've done is we've done it every year for the past 5 years. And the way it's kind of like wine, basically. The blend is the same. but the wrapper is from a different vintage, a different crop year. And so that's obviously going to create some nuances in flavor and taste, just like it does for wine. And that's part of the fun, is comparing one year to the next and seeing, you know, which one you prefer and which one is better, and or, you know, what ways you like one compared to the other. And this year, what we did is we also did two Nicaraguan editions that are meant to pair with a little bit higher gravity beer, higher percentage alcohol beer. One is called the Double Bock, and the other blend is Das Brauhaus. And the way it came about is, I was, by the end of Oktoberfest, I've drank a lot of beer, to put it mildly. And so I become kind of a snob. It's hard to impress me. And so towards the end of it last year, I was at this place in Orlando called Gnarly Barley. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I need, after the Oktoberfest season, I'll take a break from the beer. Nothing's really impressing me. And I had this Double Bock and a Firkin, and it was outstanding. And I said, well, this is awesome. We got to do something with this. But it's a little bit stronger than, obviously, a traditional Marzen. Marzen's is usually about 5% or so. So we wanted to have something that would be stronger to pair with it. And we came out with the two Nicaraguan editions, which are two different blends, but both meant to pair with higher gravity beer.
Awesome. Now, of course, all of our listeners out there, I know, have been paying attention to our previous beer shows and can spin yarns about what the original gravity is. So I know you guys are going back to our previous episodes to talk about that. Of course, the original gravity is determined by the density of the wort and how many sugars are left in the wort and how many of those sugars are converted to alcohol. And the more sugars that are converted to alcohol, the lighter the original gravity, the more sugars are left, the higher the original gravity, if I remember right. But we're not here to talk about original gravity either. We're here to talk about beer and cigars. Beer and cigars. So fair, I'm going to hop right in because I'm almost out of beer. I've been just, like, I don't drink a lot of Sam Adams. I don't know why. But I started out with the Sam Adams Oktoberfest. And I got to say, I mean, a testament to how the pairing's going, I am halfway through my beer already, and we just started. It's a pretty easy pairing. You can see it's not, I mean, it was listed as a light lager, but it is more of an amber color for me, a golden color. But it's tasty. It finishes sort of almost like a Hefeweizen, but with a little bit more oomph to it and a little bit of sweetness.
The Sam Adams, as I was saying before we're live, the Sam Adams and Spaten Oktoberfest, as well as the Paulaner Oktoberfest. It was Paulaner or Erdinger, I can't remember, quite frankly. But two of them were Sam Adams and Spaten Oktoberfest that we actually used. Those were the Oktoberfest we used to pair the blends for what became the Oktoberfest cigar. So good choice.
Thank you. I was panicking because I was like, we're so early in the year and it takes so long for beers to get up to here. I kept bugging my my beer guy, Sean, at the Kensington Wine Market. I'm like, Sean, do you have any Oktoberfest? He's like, Oktoberfest? It's August. I'm like, yeah, but do you have any Oktoberfest? He's like, check back with me in like 4 weeks. And I'm like, we have a show. He's like, I don't know what to tell you. And fortunately, I got an email that, you know, all of a sudden all these Oktoberfests started rolling in the door. So I'm a happy camper. Rob, what are you drinking?
You were sweating after.
I was sweating.
Once I told you that Terrence was going to come on, you're like, oh man, we don't have. Like, I went down there and they don't have any. You were freaking out.
I went to four different beer stores, and could not find a single thing.
Again, I think that it came out later this year because I did this. I was going to try to find something really rare or odd, and, you know, try to impress people. And I went to a couple places, and they didn't have a single one, not one. They didn't even, a couple of them didn't even have Sam Adams yet. I was surprised. I think they just released it later this year because in the past, we generally release the cigars about the same time the beer releases, and that's generally in August. So I don't know what the story is this year.
Yeah, I was on the opposite end of the spectrum. I didn't have trouble finding any at all.
Well, just to show you that we don't know what we're talking about.
Not to be that guy, but no, my local BevMo, I mean, but they've got stuff. I mean, they have Oktoberfest beers kind of all year round. And some of the stuff that the average customer isn't going to reach for. And that's like the Spaten, for example. That's the kind of thing that they'll have for the most part all year. They buy so many of them, and, you know, they're still sitting around. 6 months later, I probably wouldn't buy them at that point, but maybe that's why they're still sitting there. But they had several. I'm starting out with Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest, and like John, I kind of wanted to go with something that I felt like everybody could have access to. Sierra Nevada is pretty broad distribution. This is the first time they've done an Oktoberfest beer, which surprised me a little bit. Because when I saw it, it felt like, oh yeah, they do an Oktoberfest, but no, this is the first time they've done it. This one is in, it's brewed in collaboration with, Brauhaus Reigeli.
That's a quality German right there.
Yeah, it is.
It's Brauhaus Reigeli, I guess. Which
some German listener just threw up listening to you say that.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? Which was, that was established, wow, in 1386 in Augsburg, Germany. Wow. So they've been around for a while. It's a seasonal one-time only beer. Apparently they're, I don't know if they're going to do it again next year, but if they do, maybe they'll do it with somebody else. But so far I'm enjoying it. It's got kind of that light golden amber color that you expect from an Oktoberfest. Now, I assume that this is, I'm going to show a lot of the a lot of my beer ignorance throughout these shows, which is actually a lot of fun for me. But, I mean, so far for me, it's just got kind of a rich malty flavor to it, which is what you expect. But I've only had a few sips, so we're still just getting started. I'll pull up the website and read some of the specific. Oh, actually, you know what? I got it right here. It's 6% alcohol by volume. The beginning gravity, John, was 14.6 Plato. The ending gravity was 3.5 Plato.
Wow, they converted a lot of that sugar.
You want to break that down for us?
That's quite a conversion.
No, I don't. That's math, and I'm just not going there. So we can get our brewery guy on here, and he can tell us all about that. We'll just glaze out.
No, I'm just messing around. But and the IBU I think is 30, which is kind of again all things that you'd expect. I've got the ingredients here. I've got a food pairing. They suggest that you pair it with apple strudel with fresh whipped cream.
Strudel.
I do like a good strudel.
Absolutely.
And if you haven't done fresh whipped cream, it's really easy to make, and it makes such a huge difference.
Creamy.
Fresh whipped cream is so good. But anyway, so I'm going to work on this pairing a little bit.
Terrence, what do you got for us?
I've got Goose Island Oktoberfest. It is one I have not had before, so I wanted to bring that on. It was also one of the few that were available at the four places I went to. But I have to say, it's pretty good. When I'm a huge fan of American craft beer and the whole, you know, the changes that have happened in the beer industry over the past 10 years or so. But for traditional styles, Marzens or, you know, Belgians or whatever, usually the country of origin, I prefer the original because they've been doing it for a heck of a long time. And again, the way it's made and the ingredients and things like that are more local and whatnot. And so it's harder to imitate that. Like again, the Sam Adams Oktoberfest, I don't think is even a true Oktoberfest because of some of the things that they mix in there. But I think that's part of the fun is seeing how they compare, you know, and seeing what the new world style compares to the original ones that have been being made the same way for over 100 years.
And of course, you're absolutely correct. There's very strict approval for what is considered an Oktoberfest beer and what can be officially served at Oktoberfest. It's the Reinheitsgebot. That's the best I can do. Reinheitsgebot, which is the German beer purity law. Yeah. And essentially, I mean, it's like Scotland. They have a law regarding Scotch. America has a law regarding bourbon. And really, it's just to make sure that the ingredients in what's being created is as authentic and, you know, not messed with as possible. And, you know, every country's got that. One thing I forgot to mention on my beer, because Rob got to talk about his specs there. So the Sam Adams is 5.3% ABV. They use a lot of hops, Tettnang, Tettnanger, Hallertau, and Mittelfrau, and a whole ton of malt, which I'm not going to list off. It's actually light on the IBUs. It's only 16 IBUs, but it is bottom-fermented lager, and I'm a huge fan of bottom-fermented lager. They're just delicious.
What were the hops that are used?
It is a Tatnang Tatninger. That is one type of hop.
Yeah, I got that one too.
Hallertau Mittelfrau, I assume these are German hops. Like, I assume they're bringing these hops over from Germany to get as authentic as possible.
Yeah, like with Sierra Nevada here, their bittering hop is German Magnum, and their finishing hops were German Select, Tatnanger, the one that you said, and Spalter. Those are the finishing hops. And there's a bunch of different malts that we're not going to get into. But just curious that I figured there'd be some overlap. And there was. So far for me, I mean, this. I looking at the ABVs, I'm drinking these in the wrong order. Well, actually, they're all about the same. The Oktoberfest, I enjoyed it on its own, this year in Nevada. I bought a six-pack, and this is probably the last one left. So I did enjoy it on its own. Easy to drink. Has a lot of nice flavor to it. It's malty. It's not too overpowering, like you'd expect from a Marzen. With the cigar, I feel like the beer's purpose is to cleanse my palate after every puff of the cigar and to get me a little bit of a buzz. I'm not getting much else out of it. The flavor is just kind of, I think the flavors there just aren't really strong enough at this point for me.
For me, I find that the Sam Adams is a no-brainer pairing. I mean, I could drink a six-pack of Sam Adams and smoke this cigar all night, and I'd be a happy camper. It's got a little bit of sweetness to finish, which is good, because I'm finding the Oktoberfest, the Casado Oktoberfest, is finishing with just a hint of cedar. And so yeah. The sweetness and the cedar are pairing off. Like, I mean, again, I'm almost done my beer, so that tells you how good this pairing is going.
It's horrible.
And I'm just powering through the cigar, because it's just a no-brainer pairing, and I almost feel like I need to move on to find something that's not is good.
I think that's a perfect description, to be honest with you, because that cedar finish and that sweetness from the beer are meant to complement each other. So it's good to hear you say it. It's one thing when I say it, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid and I'm a little biased, but when you say it, it means a lot more. So that's great to hear.
And just for the record, Terrence did not give us talking points before the show.
And I tried to. I tried bribery.
Yeah,
I tried everything.
To, yeah.
They're too good. They're too honest.
Integrity is paramount here.
That's not true. I can be bought for a Slurpee and a pack of gum.
Oh, it's 104 degrees here. A Slurpee would be good.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
It's hot, man. It's a dry heat, but oh, man,
it's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat. No, it's hot enough to where you put your arm out in the sun, it hurts. So I kind of feel like a vampire if I put my hand out there, it catches on fire. the Sierra Nevada is missing that sweetness. And so I think that's why the pairing is fine, but it's highlighting the cigar more so than complimenting it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, they don't all go. And again, especially you're because on the ones from the U.S., they're less strict on how they make them. You know, that they'll try different things and they'll do things that technically make them not Marzens, or at least traditional Marzens. You never know what you're going to get. Again, it can be beneficial too. That's kind of the difference, I think. Whereas with the German ones, there's obviously variation, but because the process and the ingredients are very strictly controlled, you don't get as much variation, but it also prevents them from doing innovative things, where in the U.S. you can be a lot more free in terms of how you interpret the process, and sometimes that works out and sometimes it fails miserably. But it's fun.
Yeah, I don't think that the beer is a failure. I enjoy the beer on its own. But for the pairing,
I meant as a pairing.
No, yeah, exactly. I'm looking at the three beers, and I'd show you guys, but I don't think it will translate. But the Sierra Nevada is significantly lighter in color. Like, they're, I'm going.
Yeah, actually, in fact, that didn't even look like. When you put it up, I thought the light was. Yeah,
it looks like a urine sample now. Is what it looks like. But
I was wondering what you were doing under the table.
Yeah. We are keeping it classy here. But just to give you an idea, this is the spot, and I think you can tell the difference. It's significantly lighter. So I'm curious, since I'm going to the, wow, how do I say this? Anger? A-Y-I-N-G-E-R?
Anger.
Anger?
Yeah.
Anger.
I'm curious to jump into that one next, because I think that's much more of a classic style. So,
but just reminding our audience. Just reminding our audience, you are listening or watching Sharing Our Pairings, episode 38, Quesada Oktoberfest. We're doing some Quesada pairings. And make sure to look out for the cool promotion going right now for Quesada Oktoberfest, where they're giving away boxes of Oktoberfest and some exciting beer mugs. You want to check that out. The boxes of Oktoberfest, of course, are limited edition, produced every year, so you don't want to miss out on that.
It hasn't started yet.
It hasn't started yet. So look out for it.
Yeah, we're kicking that off. We'll go into some more detail on it a little bit later. We're kicking off on the 19th, right, Terrence?
Yeah.
That's the traditional start date.
We're going to do it for the traditional period of Oktoberfest.
Yeah, well, we'll get into a little bit more detail on that later.
So as we move on to our second beer here, just to give our audience a little bit of background. So Oktoberfest, the reason it's called Oktoberfest, but it starts in September, is because it ends with typically the first Sunday in October. Now, that was changed in 1994 to celebrate the Germany Unification Day when East and West Germany became one country. So now officially it ends on October 3rd. So typically the festival is 16 days, and there's a heck of a lot of beer that gets drank during that festival.
Absolutely.
God bless them.
Terrence, have you ever gone?
I haven't. I've been to Munich, but I haven't been during Oktoberfest. I've been to the Hofbräuhaus, the original, obviously, in Munich, and an amazing city. Again, it's nice when you go to a place and you ask for a beer, and they give you a liter. It's like 9% alcohol.
Das Boot! Give me Das Boot!
And it's funny, which if you've seen the movie Inglourious Bastards, the scene where they're in the restaurant in Germany and he puts his fingers up like that to say two, because I was there and I would go a beer and they kept bringing me two and I just thought they were nice. I was like, oh, this is great, you know, and two beers, you know. And they just somebody explained to me that two in German is with the thumb in the first finger.
Now, it's sort of related but off topic. I have a friend. He's of German parentage, and he saw the movie and he's like, what? Went to his dad and he's like, Dad, count from one to five for me. And sure enough, he goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and starts with the thumb. Yeah. And he's like, I've never seen you do that before. He's like, well, that's how you count. You start with a thumb, and of course, you know, in North America, we always start with the index finger. So
yeah,
kind of an interesting little cultural difference.
You learn something every week on this show.
Mm-hmm. But let's talk about beer, because I love beer. And we're going with one of the only six approved, or at least I am going with six approved breweries for Oktoberfest. And this is from Hofbräu München, and this is the Hofbräu Oktoberfest beer. And you can see the color. It's quite a bit lighter than the Sam Adams. And this is kind of how a lot of the Oktoberfest beers are described, as being in color. Now, originally, they were a darker lager, but over time, they have changed to be quite a light lager. This is 6.3% ABV. Again, bottom fermented. They say it's deliciously bitter. I think they have a lot more sensitivity to bitterness. Maybe I've just drank too many IPAs in the show, but it does not finish bitter at all for me. It's got this wonderful yeastiness, like, you know, so something I've come to love in German beers is, like, you put your nose into it and it's like freshly baked bread, like, it's just so yeasty. It does have a zip to it when it finishes, but I would not describe that as bitter. I would describe it as delicious.
Now, okay, so I'm going on, moving on to my second beer here. Ehinger is how we've decided to go with
the pronunciation.
It's Oktoberfest Marzen, authentic Bavarian festival lager. Now, I don't know if this is on your list of approved beers, John. I don't know where that list exists.
I believe it is. I believe that's one of them.
It looks pretty official. I mean, it's brewed according to the Ryzen. How do you say that?
It's just the German Beardy Law. That's the easiest way to
say
it.
Yeah, the Beardy Law of 1516. It's a product of Germany.
Reinheitsgebot.
Yeah, that. And it's there's a lot of other stuff in German on here that I'm going to skip. I'm going to go to the website because I think most stuff's in English. the history of this is Bavarians have been celebrating the harvest with beer festivals since before the 1400s. Marzen is brewed in March and is ready for the September-October beer festivals. It's funny, they say Oktoberfest on the bottle, but they reference multiple beer festivals here. It is famous at fall beer festivals, the seasonal release. The taste is rich. It's got a rich golden color, slightly sweet, malty nose, which I can attest to that. Medium to big body and alcohol. soft dryness from long maturation. Tons of accolades. Ratebeer.com, it's the world's top Oktoberfest. Some of these other sites I don't recognize, but top-rated Marzen Oktoberfest with 96 points from ratebeer.com. And there's just a bunch of gold medals, this, that, and the other thing. 5.8%. Wow, we haven't been drinking that long. The original gravity is 1.054, and it's got 21 IBUs. Ingredients are water, barley malt, hops, and yeast. One thing that that is definitely present in these beers for me is that yeastiness that John talks about, that bready yeastiness, and it's so filling for me.
It is.
That's one thing that I noticed about the Oktoberfest, about the Sierra Nevada. It's not as filling. It doesn't, like, I could sit there and I could have four or five of those and not feel like I'm going to explode. But this anger has definitely got a filling texture to it.
I mean, can you imagine a liter of that with some bratwurst and some you know, like, you'd
be done.
No, there's no Tums. They serve you another beer and they tell you to suck it up.
No, absolutely, I can imagine that. The pairing here is significantly better. The flavor profile is so much more rich. There's that, just that hint of sweetness on the finish that John was talking about that wasn't there at the Sierra Nevada. And it really does bring out a lot of the characteristics of the cigar. That cedar note in there that John's mentioned. There's some kind of chewy notes that are in there too. And there's a little mild little spice on the retrohale. Not big at all, but just enough to let you know that it's there. This is the type of pairing, even though this is contrary to what I just said about the beer being filling, I could have this all day. Anybody can tell if you have this pairing that these things are meant to be together.
Again, I did not pay anyone any money to say these things. I just want to...
Not at all. No, just to be clear, I mean, we've talked about Oktoberfest cigars on the show before. I don't think we've done any Oktoberfest cigar pairings, though, have we, John? Mm-mm. This is the first time we've done it.
Yeah.
But this is one of those cigars that's meant for pairing, but is still good enough to smoke on its own, and it stands on its own merits as a cigar. So when you can have that and still find that perfect pairing to fit with it, I mean, that's exactly what we look for in every show, and we don't always find it. So I'm happy that we found it, and I'm actually, or at least that I found it.
That's exactly it, I think, is that you want to be able to enjoy it no matter what. If you have to have a beer with it to enjoy it, that's usually not a good sign. And it really limits who you have access to, because there's a lot of guys out there that have told me they love the Oktoberfest, but they don't even drink for whatever reason. So, you know, you still want to have people appreciate the cigar for what it is. But it's nice if you have something that you know within reason is going to go pretty well with it. And I think that's part of the fun is you know, finding the right margin, you know, for you that you'll enjoy it with. And so far, you guys have more or less echoed my feelings on it as well.
Absolutely. And I've paired previous releases with previous releases of the Sam Adams Oktoberfest. I get the Sam Adams Oktoberfest every year. I go through at least a 12-pack every year. I really enjoy that beer. There's a few things that Sam Adams does that I really enjoy. All over the last year or so, I've become a bit of a beer snob, and I'm okay with that. But there's still things that I'll reach for. And I mean, like a Sam Adams, to me, I don't think that's nothing wrong with drinking a Sam Adams. And their Oktoberfest is always my favorite release every year. Now, Terrence, question for you: with these, you're saying that these Oktoberfest, known for 5 years, every year the blend is the same, but it's a different year vintage of the wrapper. How well have these aged? I've got some that I don't know exactly what year they're from, because this is the first year you guys started putting the year notification on there, which I think is a great idea. But they have that original band, the white band with the...
Those are from, at the earliest, they're from 2013. Those would be the earliest they're from.
Now, I've still got some of those sitting around, and I know one of them is from the original release when they first came out.
Oh, wow.
I saved one. When I bought two 5-packs, and I saved one. I just wish I knew which one it was. I think it was a Toro too, like just a standard size. It wasn't anything different.
Part of the reason we changed the band, the Robusto and the 6x65 were the two original. But part of the reason we changed the band is the first 3 years it was the same band, and people would do that. They'd be like, "Hey, I loved the 12 or the 13 or the 11. You know, how can I? Is this it, or can I get one?" We'd be like, "I can't tell you because it's the same exact band." And you sometimes. Because again, we always experiment a little bit with the wrapper and how long we ferment it for and how long we process it and things like that. But sometimes you can tell a little bit by the color. But it's guessing at that point. So for that very reason, we started implementing some variation every year in the packaging and band, so people know what they're getting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious to go back. It must be the Robusto then, because you said it was a 6x65.
There's a 6x65 and a 5.5x52. Those were the two original sizes.
It was the 5.5x52 that I got. I'll have to dig that up. And then I've got another one that's really small.
The Kurtz. That's probably from 12 or 13 if it has the same band.
Yeah, has the same band, and that was a petite Robusto.
Yeah, 4x50. Yeah, that's the Kurtz. Kurtz means short in German.
Okay, there you go. Then that's one thing I've noticed about it, and I feel like you have a lot to do with this. There's a reason behind everything that you do. Every name has a specific meaning to it or reason behind it. With all of your releases that I've noticed,
we try to always have two meanings. Like one a more obvious meaning, and then a secondary meaning that is more. You need to be more kind of in on the joke or whatever. So again, like the Kurtz, for instance, again, like Kurtz, I mean, that people think of Colonel Kurtz from Apocalypse Now, but Kurtz in German means short. Das Boot is a famous German movie about a submarine. A submarine in German is Das Boot, or the boat. And but then it's shaped like a torpedo. Torpedoes are shot by submarines.
It's smart.
So when a person sees the name, it has some significance to them. And then if they're interested in these type of things and they look into it, they'll find another meaning. Again, we do that, like you said, with most things, like the Optim for our Casa Magna line, Domus Magnus, the Optimus and Primus. Optimus is best, and Primus means number one. Casa Magna was best number one cigar of the year. But when you hear Optimus Primus, what do you think? So that kind of... makes it easy to identify right away or relate to something when you see a name. Because sometimes a cigar will have a really cool name, but it's unpronounceable or it doesn't have any real significance to the person. So we always try to make it so you can connect with it in some way and hear that and go, oh, that's an interesting name. Or, oh, I know it. It has some meaning to you inherently.
Yeah, absolutely. John, how's your second pairing going?
It's good. And just to echo your sentiment about the spices, I wasn't getting any real spiciness out of the Retrohale when I was pairing with the Sam Adams, but now that I'm pairing with the Hofbräu, I'm getting, talk about spices, it's a light plus spice. So, for the cigar smokers out there who are more in the medium-bodied or light-bodied, it just adds just a tiny bit of complexity in the Retro. And in the main draw, I'm getting a little bit of hay, which I wasn't getting before. And I think it was just being run over by the sweetness from the Sam Adams. So it's interesting between the two beers, I'm getting different notes off the cigar, which makes a fun experience because, on its own, maybe I wouldn't get these things if I didn't pair with the two different beers. So enjoying it so far and, puffing like a dragon.
Hey, Terrence, you have a second beer there with you?
I don't actually. Well, I have more of the Goose Oktoberfest.
so how is the pairing there?
It's pretty good. It reminds me, again, I need to get in Oktoberfest mode where I'm drinking a lot of these all the time. But as I think this is probably one of the first ones I've had this year. I've had the Sam Adams the other day, which was excellent. But this is good. It's good. It's solid. It's not my favorite that I've had as far as a pairing. Again, generally speaking, I like the traditional German ones more, the Spaten, the Anger. The Polliner has a really good one. But definitely the Sam Adams is – Sam Adams is a funny one a little bit. Some years it's better than others. I think the past 2 years, the Oktoberfest has been really good. And then St. Arnold's out of Texas, at least in the past, I haven't had this year's yet, has a very good Oktoberfest that I feel pairs well with this cigar.
Interesting.
We do have some audience questions, so maybe we can fire a couple of those before our next break here. Terrence, Jason Myers had a question you already answered, which was about pairing the beers during the blending process. But he says he always looks forward to trying the new Oktoberfest cigars, and all the different beers that are available every year. He wants to know what made you decide to produce two Nicaraguan Puros this year.
Well, it was supposed to be one. It was supposed to be one, but we liked two different blends and two different sizes, and the blend worked well in the size we ultimately made it in, but not as well in the other size, and vice versa. So we said, "What the heck? We'll do both of them." So each blend is specific to that particular size because we thought it worked well in. And again, it was due to just that having that that firkin of double bock last year at that place, and just thinking it was excellent, and then going and pairing it with a cigar. And I just felt the Dominican Oktoberfest didn't really pair as well as I wanted it to with it. So we wanted to do something that would hold up a little bit better to something with a little more kick to it. And that's how they came about.
So we kind of we've talked a little bit about this size, but Harley Holmes wants to know, and maybe we can go through the sizes quickly. He wants to know what your favorite size of the Oktoberfest is.
No, it really varies. It's a great question. It varies every year. Every year, for whatever reason, I feel the blend works. Speaking of the Dominican here, it works in a different size best. The first year, I liked the Bavarian, which is the Robusto. The second year, I liked the Kaiser Ludwig, which is the Box Press Toro. The third year, I liked the Krone, which is the Corona size. Last year, I liked the Das Boot, the Torpedo. And then this year... This year, out of the Dominican, I would say I'm back to the Kaiser again. I'd say that's the best size. The Bavarian I enjoy very much as well. And then for the two new ones, I really like the Double Block, which is a Churchill, 7x47 traditional Churchill, and the Brauhaus is a Perfecto in a 4¾x60 size, which I think partly that's just not a size for me. I think it's been a very popular seller for us thus far, but it's not my favorite size. It's like the Uber. We sell a lot of the Uber is the first to sell out every single year at 6x65. I just don't like a cigar personally that big. But again, we're here to make cigars for the consumer. So obviously our own tastes and preferences come into play, but we also have to be respectful of the consumer and what the consumer's looking for as well.
I'll never understand it.
In fairness, I think they're better ones. I think what originally was happening with the big ring gauges is that they just did this. They're going, we'll just shove some extra tobacco in there. People that smoke this don't know what they're doing anyway, and that's what they did. And now I think they're actually blending to the size. And there's actually, in the Casa Magna brand for us, the Box Press 6x60, is one of the best tasting, I think, Casa Magna's, if not the best tasting for me. Again, the size isn't, I don't like the size still, but in terms of the taste profile, I think a few years ago it would be very, very hard to say that those sizes compared to, a Corona or a Lonsdale or something. But now I think, at least in terms of taste, there are some that are out there, not just for us, for other brands that really seem to have great flavor and complexity, at least in compared to what they used to be.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, actually. And I don't think I've ever really thought about it that way. But you probably are on to something. And with some of the – there are a few cigars out there that come out in a 60-plus ring gauge that I can smoke and will go back to again. But for the most part, I don't even try them. And maybe that's wrong. I'm set in my ways. I'm an old man. I'm set in my ways. Yeah, no, you're right. And it's, there are a few. I've got some in the review rotation that are a 60 or over. I've actually got a 70 in the rotation that concerns me a little bit, but it's a kind of an extreme flat. It's not even like it's almost like a rectangle press. So it doesn't seem quite as big, but that'll be the first 70 I've ever smoked. So I don't know, maybe I'm missing out, but I don't know. It's just a perception thing. But
don't get me wrong. It's not really for me, but I definitely think they've improved tremendously in terms of taste and complexity.
Yeah, it's definitely for somebody because people are buying it. John, we got to move on to our next beer, man.
Before we do, just a reminder to our audience that you are either watching or listening to Sharing Our Pairings, episode 38, Cassette Oktoberfest. Appreciate everyone out there listening, all our Armed Forces Radio Network people. Hope you guys are staying safe and you're mostly just bored, because that would be the best of every world. Thanks very much for our podcast listeners, and thanks very much for everyone who's tuning in live tonight. Make sure to check out the new Oktoberfest.
Yes, thank you.
From Cassada. It's smoking pretty darn good. I was going to use a different word there, but I'm not going to. Of course, a huge promotion coming up, which includes Oktoberfest special edition giveaways and some beer mugs. You want to check that out. That'll be launching pretty soon, so check out CigarFederation.com. We'll have news on that. And we're going to move into our last beer, which, I'll tell you what, I have been looking forward to this for like a week. I don't even have it cracked yet, because I don't want to spoil it. I'm worried that it's going to not be great. And I'm not going to try and pronounce it, because it's a Marzen, but it's a smoked Marzen. And it's actually out of a brew pub. And this brew pub, you say brew pub, they were founded in 1678, which is ridiculous. And then they have a drinking location next to it, which is an old monastery that was founded in 1310. So, like, that's just ridiculous. So what they do with this, it's original gravity is 13.2%, ABV of 5.1, 30 IBUs, bottom fermented, of course. But what's different about this is it's a smoked malt, and it kind of evokes Scottish smoked barley for me, like a peated whiskey, because they use burning beechwood logs during the malting process to expose it to some smoke, and then they mature it in 600-year-old cellars in the hills of Bamberg. So, I mean, if that doesn't get you excited to try this, I don't know what will. So I'm gonna pop that, pour that, and maybe Rob can talk about his pairing while I make noises in the background.
What is it called?
It is the Echt Schlenkerla Rauchbier Marzen. Now, there is a story. Schlenkerla is actually a Frankish word, Schlenkern, and it's kind of funny because Schlenkern means to not walk straight, and so if someone's hammered, you'd say they're Schlenkern because they're kind of wobbly. So the original founding brew pubs thought, you know, here'd be an interesting play on words. We'll call it the Schlenkerla, which, you know, they added la as a, I guess, as a Frankish thing. They added la to the end. So the name has stuck around for, you know, 300 plus years. So essentially it means go to this pub and get hammered. Which, that sounds like an endorsement, if I ever heard one.
Some things are timeless.
Yeah. It's getting trashed and not really sure if you're going to find your way home. It's been around since the 1300s, apparently.
They're doing something right.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I've definitely seen that beer before. I've never tried it. So now that I know the story behind it, I'm going to try to
Look at how dark that is compared to the other beers. I mean, that is a nice dark lager.
It's beefy.
Oh, it smells like peat.
It's pretty peaty, from what I remember.
You're going to have a very different experience here.
Yep.
So while you do that, I'll go into my beer here. I've got the Spaten Oktoberfest, which is kind of the quintessential Oktoberfest beer. I assume that it's on that list that John was talking about, but I don't know.
It is.
Fact. I assume that it is, yeah. There's only six beers on that list?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I believe they have to be made in Munich. There are a few rules that are required, and I forget all six, but I know Spaten is one of the six.
Yeah, well, yeah, sorry. Spatenbrau is definitely in Munich.
Spaten, Lohenbrau, Augustiner, Brau, Hofbrau, München, which we already had, Polliner, which unfortunately I couldn't get my hands on because he only came as a six-pack, and I'm cheap. That's the Scottish in me. And then Hackershore, which I love Hackershore, but again, too early in the season, so I couldn't get my hands on. So there's only six.
Wow. Okay, so let's see. For the Spaten Oktoberfest, it's the world's first Oktoberfest beer, according to their website. Beer of Munich's famous Oktoberfest. It's aromatic, it's savory, and it's golden colored. As I showed earlier, this one is the darkest of the three that I'm having here. I'd show you the color of the anger, but it's gone. The color is empty. Definitely
she's
darker.
Yeah,
she's gone. Well, there's still more in the bottle, but you know. So let's see. Let me get back to the website. Not a ton of information here. 5.9%. The original gravity is 13.7. IBUs are 23. It's got 180 calories per bottle and 50 grams of carbohydrates. That's it. That's all the information they're giving me. Yeah, so that's it. Now, I can tell you that the flavor on it after the first few sips, it almost has like a bit of a tartness to it. Tart's not really the right word, but a little bit of a fruitiness to it that wasn't really apparent in these other beers, but I've only had a couple of sips. The pairing so far has been really nice, but again, it's the darkest of the three that and it's been around since 1397. So they've been doing it for a while, man.
1397. It's a long time.
That's crazy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, other than straight alcohol, you'd have to go back to some pretty ancient alcohols to go earlier than that. That's pretty impressive.
Gutenberg hadn't printing press yet. they were still writing on like with pins or feathers.
The quill. Like get your quill out. I learned that from Harry Potter. Is that weird? Like, I'm not of the age range that should enjoy Harry Potter, and I don't have kids, but I love them.
Yeah, it was a good show.
They're making the Harry Potter land in L.A. I'm so excited. It's going to cost me like $500 to get in, but I'll go anyway. John, you went. The interesting thing is that you've been there twice?
I've been there twice because the first time, now we're way off topic, but so I went the first time.
I have a story for this as well when you're done.
Excellent. So I love Harry Potter. I think it's great. I think it's great that they're bringing back sort of imagination and magic to kids' books. And they're well-written books. They're a good story. The characters are fleshed out. So I went the first time, and it was, quite frankly, like the best part of Universal Studios. And then we left, and like 3 months later, they're like, oh, we're doing this huge expansion, which is going to feature the train from the movie that takes you between the two sections of the park. And the girlfriend's like, well, we have to go back. I'm like, yes, clearly we have to go back. And we did, and it was fantastic. If you even have an inkling of enjoyment for Harry Potter, it's a no-brainer experience. It's fantastic.
Have you ever made butterbeer?
I've not made butterbeer. The butterbeer there is really good, and we've had on our Soda Pop 1.0, we had a cream soda, and I've been drinking it when I drink pop, because it tastes very, very close to butterbeer. It's a cream soda.
My wife had a recipe where we made it, and it had butterscotch schnapps in it, and it was actually kind of good. It was really, really sweet, and there was no alcohol in it. But I mean, schnapps.
Germans go crazy over schnapps. Crazy over.
Anyway, we have Terrence. You got to tell us your Harry Potter story. Then we got to move on. We got
quick.
My fault.
It'll be quick. It'll be quick. But I haven't read the books or anything. But J.K. Rowling went to University of Exeter. In England, where I went, she was a classicist, and in fact, her books, you can buy them in translated into Latin and ancient Greek because she wanted to promote classical, you know, studies and history. And but some of the streets in Exeter are used as or the inspiration for places and scenes in the book. So when you'd go down a street, somebody would say, "Oh, and this is where such and such a place in Harry Potter is supposed to be." You'll have to forgive me; I don't know the names because I haven't read the books, but. You know, and she did go to University of Exeter, and she's a classicist, so I thought that was interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, I had no idea. One thing to get us back on topic of beer here, because I got us off topic.
Yeah, sorry.
It amazes me how different these three beers taste. Excuse me, I had a belch there. When they're all kind of supposed to be the similar style, they all taste very different. And maybe it's just because my palate's jacked by the time I get to the end, but... This Oktoberfest from Spaten has a much fuller flavor to it. And maybe it's, you know, I'm getting thrown off by the darker color. Flavor is much more full. It's a lot more malty. There's that, there's almost like a saltiness to it, which is kind of weird. But on the finish, there's that, it's kind of a bright fruity note that's mingling very, very well with what the cigar is doing. I think this is probably my favorite pairing of the night. But it's the anger is pretty close too, but I feel like the flavors and the finish on this beer are much more crisp. That really allows me to taste more of the cigar.
The Spaten again, that's was one of the three original, as I said, And it's also a kind of a beer that's always remained nostalgic for me in a way, because years and years ago when I was, I think, a sophomore in college or a freshman in college, and again, when you're in college, I remember the first weekend I was there, some guy was like, hey, don't buy good expensive beer like Bud Light, save your money. You know, so your standards aren't very high at that time. And some guy had a party in like the beginning of October, and he had a keg of Spaten, and I remember drinking it. Spaten Oktoberfest, and I remember drinking it and being like, good God, this is much better than what I've been drinking. And that really is what got me into beer and kind of, you know, woke me up to like how good beer can be. And when we did this, that was definitely the beer I wanted to use as at least one of the pairings, because it's kind of what got me into all this.
And it's a classic. I mean, it's a classic Oktoberfest beer. Most people can find this probably at their grocery store.
Yeah, it's fairly common. It's not as common, again, as like the Sam Adams or some of these others, but for a German Oktoberfest that's authentic, it's probably the most easily found, and I still think the best.
Yeah, it's really, really good. The pairing is really nice. It's got that it's crisp up front, and it's crisp on the finish, which really does kind of clear the palate with every sip, you know, as much as a beer can do, and really highlights the cigar. John, I need to know about yours.
Yeah, how's that peated Dunmarsen?
So we've talked about the Chichibu the Peated on the show before, which for me is this sort of brilliant combination of peat and whiskey where one doesn't overpower the other. And this Schlenkerla is, I mean, I got to go back and pick up like a half dozen of these, because this is like, you know, miraculously, I think I managed to put these beers in the correct order. I've gone from sweet to sort of a yeasty, a heavier, more classic Oktoberfest beer, and now we've gone into the sort of more complex, and I feel like, to your point about pairing the Oktoberfest, I feel like this is probably as heavy as I could go in a beer without running the cigar over, because it's very malty, but the maltiness is offset by this, and I wouldn't even call it peat, I'd call it like it's smoke. So it's kind of like if you're a whiskey person, it's like a Talisker 10. So you get that sort of campfire smokeness to it, like green wood smoke, but it doesn't run over the malts, and then it, you know, it doesn't run over the cigar. It's amazing because it is very full-bodied, and I would expect it to run over the cigar, but it's not. And man, I'm in my happy place with this beer. This is really, really good.
From what I remember, it almost has like, again, you may laugh at this, like a bacon taste to it. It reminds me of bacon.
That's an excellent way to describe it. It's like if you were to take bacon and smoke it on your barbecue, that's exactly what it tastes like. Which, you know, I know that
Germans love. Which is, I think, you're good for most people.
Yeah.
I think that's a plus for most.
Yeah, you guys have sold me, dude. I've got to find this stuff.
I tell you, it's and the thing is, like, it's only 5.1%, which is great. You know, I was worried it was going to be like some monster at 8% plus. And it, again, it's balanced. And I, you know, I use the word all the time on the show, balance. You're looking for balance, and I think it's that balance that makes it pair well with the cigar. Because if it was too malty, it'd probably run over the nuances of the cigar, and if it was too smoky, it'd run over the nuances of the cigar. But because the beer is balanced, it works with the cigar. And I do think that this is probably as full-bodied as I could take it while still enjoying the cigar. I think if I were to go, you know, deeper than this, you'd lose the nuances that are on the cigar. Because it is, I mean, the cigar is very, it is very balanced and nuanced and elegant. And you're gonna lose a lot of those nuances if you go to something heavier, for sure.
Yeah. No, I've got to say this, the Spaten for me, it's the winner of the night. With every sip and puff I take, it gets a little bit better. It's funny how beer works that way. But it's the flavor up front, man. It's just really nice. It's got that maltiness to it, but there's that weird fruitiness that I'm getting out of there that I don't know if I'd get that on a normal without the cigar. But it really does kind of pull everything together. Maybe not. I don't feel like I'm explaining it very well.
I think that, but I see what you're saying. There's like latent flavors that you wouldn't taste if you weren't pairing it. And I think that's the sign of a good pairing is when you're tasting things that if you had it by itself, you wouldn't experience.
Mm-hmm. And just for example, that mild spice that we were talking about with our second pairing, John, I don't even get that anymore on the retrohead, the retro hail right now is so smooth. It's I feel like I could, I normally retro hail about, I don't know, 30% for each puff. But I feel like I could retro hail the whole thing because it's so smooth. And there's a ton of flavor that you get on that retro hail. As I get towards the end of my pairings here that I'm picking up.
And I mean, this might be the cigar we could call the training wheels for retrohaling because, you know, the worry I think a lot of people have with retrohaling is they're going to blow their sinuses out. And I think what's nice here is that you can retrohale, you do get rewarded for that, and you don't get punished. You know, you can pick up a lot more flavor on this cigar than just a straight draw. And I mean, I like you said, I'm probably retrohaling now like 50% of the draws. And I can still breathe, so that's, you know, that's positive.
That's a point.
It's interesting because, again, going to the concept of the cigars, we want it to be a person to be able to enjoy this that's maybe not the everyday smoker and still enjoy it. And that's always a little bit of a concern with when you're trying to reach, you know, somebody that's, let's say, really into beer or scotch or whiskey, and as an occasional cigar smoker, a lot of times what you'll see is they'll have, you know, Laphroaig or something like that for scotch, and then they'll be having it with like a Macanudo, and they'll be like, oh, I can't have anything stronger than that. And they're like, really, with that, you know, Laphroaig? And so we wanted something that would do exactly what you said, reward them for trying it and for experiencing it, you know, in a different way with your retrohale and with a little bit stronger of a blend that they're maybe used to, and then not overwhelm them, you know, their first time around and scare them off.
Yeah, I would definitely say that even a beginner cigar smoker, an occasional cigar smoker, could appreciate the flavors that are here, and I think this is a good cigar to build on, you know, to enjoy this and then try out a couple different beers and maybe see what they can get out of the cigar on you know. And I'm just, what I'm saying is you need to buy a box and keep pairing.
Go on.
No, it's very approachable. It really is, and it's. There's a lot to like about this cigar just from a superficial standpoint. It looks the band. I love the way that you guys changed the band. And is this the second year or the first year?
The second year with that band. And we have the secondary band is the first year we have that.
But the change is it just looks so Oktoberfest. I mean, it looks like the spot in bottle for, I mean, really, and it's. It's eye-catching. It's a kind of, if you're a beer guy, it's a kind of cigar that you would probably reach for, even if you're not a cigar smoker. And I do think that it is very approachable. The darkness of the band, of the wrapper probably scares some people away, even though that doesn't necessarily, darkness of a wrapper doesn't translate to a strong cigar. But it really is good. And the pairing with the Spaten is fantastic. The pairing with the Anger was really good. And even the pairing with the Sierra Nevada was fine. It highlighted the cigar. I'm starting to repeat myself at this point. But we've got just a few minutes left. So we've got this big giveaway coming up, and we're doing – it's 16 days?
16 days.
We're doing 16 days. This is the first time we're really letting people know about this giveaway. 16 days of Oktoberfest giveaways on CigarFederation.com. We're going to start on September 19th. Which is a Saturday, because the way that Oktoberfest works, it ends on the first Saturday, correct? In October.
I believe it's the first Saturday, unless they change it, because it always falls after October 3rd or on October 3rd. I forget, maybe.
Yeah, it's the first Saturday. Actually, no, it's the first Sunday, because it is October 4th that it ends on.
So. Yeah, it just has to fall on. It has to include October 3rd to celebrate German Unity Day. So
okay, so that's right. Yeah.
Typically falls on the first Sunday of October.
It's the first Sunday, and it starts two Saturdays before that, or 2 weeks before that, or whatever the math is. So it ends up being 16 days, starting on the 19th. And there's going to be something different for everybody to do to win every day on Cigar Federation. Someday it'll be through the app, and one day it'll be on the website. One day we'll want you to post pictures or what have you. So you'll have to check in every day for what that specific day's giveaway is. There's going to be different prizes every day. I know we've got a bunch of the Steins that we're going to give away, which are really, really cool. I don't have one. Terrence, do you have one?
I don't have one with me. I have last year's, actually, because I'm saving them for winners okay. rather than keep it for myself. But it's a beautiful Stein. You can check it out. If you follow our Instagram page or our Facebook page. You can see them on there. We've posted pictures of them. And again, I don't want to exaggerate, but winning it will probably be the greatest experience of your life.
Even if you're not a beer drinker, I mean, having a Stein like that is just really cool. It's a glass Stein. From what I've seen, they look like they're really, really cool. They've got the logo on there. And one thing that I have a glass that's similar to that, and I put milkshakes in it. So you can do like just a big milkshake in the Stein, and then you feel like it's not that bad because it's only one glass.
Yeah, really get innovative with it.
It's like 40 ounces. It's like 40 ounces of milkshake, so by the end you feel like an elephant, but that's okay. That's going to kick off on the 19th, so pay attention, CigarFederation.com. Some of the stuff will be for the app, some will be on the site, so we're going to have plenty of stuff to give away, and a bunch of cigars to include there as well. So it's going to be really exciting to do all that, so you guys will get all that information as we get closer. So.
Thanks for our listeners for tuning in live to Sharing Our Pairings episode 38. And thanks, Terrence, for being on the show. We really appreciate it. Thanks for our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners. We know you guys are out there listening, and we appreciate you tuning in. And, of course, our podcast listeners, we know you guys are out there in droves. Thanks very much. Whatever country you're listening from, we appreciate it. As we always say here on Sharing Our Pairings, make sure to drink better, but drink less.
Thanks, guys.
And to throw a German spin on it, holy Scheiße, we are back.
We have a lot of listeners in Germany, actually.
We do. We've got I was looking at the stats because I'm a nerd, and we got a bump in Sweden. I don't know what's going on in Sweden, but they're pretty stoked to listen to our podcast in
they're
Sweden.
Fired up? So I go up here. Is Scotch big in Sweden? Because we're doing a lot of Scotch shows.
I don't know what the maybe you know, if you're listening from Sweden, drop us a line, Rob at Cigar Federation, John at CigarFederation.com. Tell us how you found the show. I don't know that we'll ship anything to you because I'm sure that would cost a fortune, but we'd appreciate hearing from you.
The Schulster family are a big importing house in cigar. They make a lot of machine maids and they import premium brands in Germany. And their daughter Maria, I had the opportunity to meet when she was working in Nicaragua. With the Plasencias, and I was down there a couple times when she was there, and I would say the names of things, you know, of our cigars, or say German words, and you know, she always like got a little crick in her neck every time I pronounce something. It was just a butchery. So, I apologize to all the German listeners for my pronunciation of
No, man, we have broken our listeners in on that. Like I was telling John, this was either last week or the week before. Our tagline should be, "I probably pronounced that wrong." Because we pronounce everything wrong, but we deal with a lot of things that are from other countries, which is one of the fun parts of the show is expanding our own palates and trying some things. Like I'd never had the Aeinger Oktoberfest before, and it's a really good beer. And I'm really normally I probably wouldn't have even sought it out, but now that we're doing the show, you know, that it takes us outside of our comfort zone a little bit. So
opening horizons, that's what we're trying to do here.
Absolutely, absolutely. So our Armed Forces Radio segment is done, but this is still on our podcast. It's still going on YouTube. People can still hear us. So just so you know that. John, we're not doing any giveaways tonight or anything like that. I'm still sticking with the spot in Oktoberfest as my favorite pairing, and I even went and poured a second little. I don't know why I'm drinking out of these little jars.
It's a nice jar.
They're little
jam.
Yeah, they're little Kerr self-sealing mason jars. And I think the reason that we have them is my wife just made a gigantic batch of strawberry jam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Holding on this. You're holding on all the jam.
Yeah, and it's actually really good. The first time she's ever made it. And she complained that it was a little bit too sweet. I thought it was pretty damn good. And I do like jam. So hopefully this becomes a thing.
Do we have time to talk football? Because we're getting back into it. It's week one this weekend, and I'm super excited.
We can do it, Terrence. This is one thing that we have done in the past is we'll do like football picks towards the end of the show. So
sure.
If you want to participate, that's great. If you want to drop off, that's fine too. We don't take it too seriously. I think John, you pay attention to who wins and who loses, right? You're going to keep track this year.
We should have a spreadsheet.
I got a few more. I got a few more for you guys. Anything?
Okay. Yeah. So let's go through. Let's go down. Well, we could start out with our fantasy draft. We're doing a Cigar Federation Fantasy League, and it's a 16-team league.
It's crazy.
16 teams.
It's a lot of teams.
And it's a ton of teams, man. And I mean, I'm rolling out Andy Dalton as my quarterback.
Yikes.
Yeah. And Chandler Cantanzaro is my kicker. Not that that matters, but it's just a standard league, but it's PPR, so you get an extra point for your reception. So I went big on wide receiver. I went early with Julio Jones and A.J. Green, and went early on tight end with Greg Olsen. But I think my team sucks. But then when
my team is pretty garbage. I won my league last year, but I drafted a lot of same players, you know, out of nostalgia, and I don't think it's going to work out. Like, I had DeMarcus Murray last year. We'll see how that goes this year.
Where did he end up? He's on the Eagles now, right?
Yeah, you got traded to the Eagles, yeah.
Can't believe that. Interdivisional rival?
Did they actually trade him, or was it a free agency thing?
I think it was a free agency.
It must have been free agency.
I think it's free agency.
Because there's never big trades like that in the NFL.
They could have kept him, but I think he ended up going because they just think they can do better. I don't think he was asking for – I mean – within the standards of NFL salaries, that much considering the year he had. And I think that with that line, they have a great line. So, you know.
Pay the man.
Yeah.
We'll anyway, we can move on. John, do you want to go over your team a little bit?
No. No, I don't. Because the only two things that I have going for me. Yeah, so for first pick, now I know traditionally with fantasy football, you're supposed to go running back. But Antonio Brown was on the board. And it's a PPR league for those who follow fantasy football. And I'm sorry, but if Antonio Brown is on the board in a PPR league, I'm going Antonio Brown. Like,
that's the right pick.
I'm in it to win it. It was either that or you know, the running back from Green Bay. And I was like, nope, going with Antonio Brown. Sorry.
I don't know. I think when you talk about PPR, it's only one. It's 1 point per reception, but. Like a good wide receiver is catching 8 or 9 balls a game.
That's a lot of points.
That's 9 points right there just on catches.
Yep.
Doesn't have to get any yards or touchdowns. But then when you get yards and touchdowns, it's even better.
Yep.
Anyway, okay, so let's go on. Well, let's roll down
we're going to power through the picks. So first off, we got the Thursday night game, which is a classic matchup of the Brady Patriots versus the Roethlisberger Steelers. Now, in my experience as a Jets fan who does follow a lot of Patriots, you can sometimes catch the Patriots off guard in the first 4 games of the season, but this is not going to be one of those games. New England's going to win this, and they're going to win it by, I'm going to go on a board and say 8 points. I'm going Patriots.
So are we going by the spread, or are we just going?
We're just going pick, but I'm just throwing it out there to see how wrong I am.
Okay.
Patriots. There's no
You're a Pats fan. You'll pick them every week.
Tom Brady's going to do what he's been doing his whole career.
Win. Cheating?
Win
games.
Hey-o.
Win games and sleep with supermodels. That's all
we're all just jealous. Let's just be frank. We are all jealous of him.
He's a great man. He is.
I'm jealous of him. I don't think I've never really been jealous of anybody in my life. I'm jealous of Tom Brady.
Yeah, there's very few people. I think with almost everybody out there, you can say, like, you're better at something or you're better in some way. Like, you know, Robert Downey Jr., great actor. You know, I'm glad I never had a huge drug problem and I just spent all that time in rehab. You know? So there's always something you can kind of, you know, get on the guy. Tom Brady, there's nothing. There's nothing.
Yeah. He's even a Bay Area guy.
Yeah, you should be a fan.
He sits down when he pees. That's all I got to say about
that. where is the game at?
Game is in, it looks like it's in Foxborough.
Yeah, there you go. I believe that's.
Sunday morning, we got the Colts versus Buffalo. I know the Buffalo Bills fans are really excited out there because they're like, oh, maybe we'll have a winning season. You're not going to have a winning season. I'm sorry, but you've got Rex Ryan now. I love the man when he's
winning. It sounds like bitterness.
You know, it's I'm sorry, but Andrew Luck and the Colts, you know, I'm sure Rex is going to pull out some whatever out of his hat, but Colts are going to take that one. I don't think it's going to be an embarrassment, but the Colts are going to take that one.
I'm going Buffalo. I think I'm going Buffalo. And I'm not a Rex Ryan fan. He was obnoxious when we used to play us. And, you know, most of the time we destroyed him. So
rings.
But
Rex Ryan is easy to dislike.
I think he's going to win this game. I think he's excited for a new start, and I think he's got a decent team. We'll see. I don't know how well they're going to do this year, but I think they're going to beat the Colts.
No, absolutely not. I'm going to go with the Colts, and I'm even going to go a step further. The Colts are going to win the Super Bowl too.
Wow.
Egad.
I love Andrew Luck. He's a really good quarterback. He's got plenty of weapons. I love Frank Gore.
He's from the U,
and he played for the Niners. I love Frank Gore, and I really want to see Frank Gore get a ring. I think the Colts are going to win this game. I think they actually are going to win the Super Bowl. They're my Super Bowl pick.
Wow. Some week one shockers there.
Just right off the bat.
Packers traveled to Chicago to face the Bears. Classic matchup. I mean, how can you not pick Rodgers? I'm sorry, but like...
Yeah, that's you know. I think we can just skip that. I think I'm going to speak for you, Robbie, and just pick Green Bay here.
Everybody hold the phone. This is my shocker pick of the week. I'm going to go with the Bears.
Oh, wow.
I'm taking the Bears. I think the absence of... who's that white guy that they lost? A wide receiver, Jordy Nelson?
Jordy's a big loss, but...
That's a big loss, and I don't know. Rodgers
could put it in my hands. That's all I'm saying.
You're right. And I like Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to go with the Bears this week. But somebody's got to do it.
Packers.
Are you keeping track of these?
Yeah, I'll go back. Packers.
Okay. All right. I'll take the Bears. I'll go off.
What I think is going to be the upset pick of the week, the Chiefs go to Houston to face the Texans. I think the Chiefs are going to take this one.
Shouldn't the Chiefs be favored to win this one? Isn't Houston rolling out a rookie quarterback?
I don't know.
Mariota or whatever the hell, the kid from Oregon, right? No?
I don't know. Maybe we should have Matt on the show. I don't know. I haven't been paying that much attention.
No, yeah, they've got the kid from Oregon they took. It's Houston, right? No, it's he plays for Tennessee. Never mind. Tennessee and Houston, I get them confused. He's the Titans.
So does that mean you're going with the Chiefs?
I don't know. Terrence gets to make his pick first.
Nah, I'm gonna go with the Chiefs here. The Chiefs always tend to start pretty well the first, few games of the season, and then by the second half they just collapse. So I'll give the Chiefs a good start to the year and pick them.
Let's see. So Kansas City. Oh, they're rolling out Alex Smith, huh? He's going to throw those 5-yard passes all day long. I'll go. It's the Chiefs and who? What the hell?
Houston.
Houston.
I'll take Houston.
All right. We got Carolina going to Jacksonville to face the Jaguars. Sorry, Jags fans. This is not going to be your year.
Yeah.
Just pick whoever they're playing against and move on.
Yeah.
It's not going to be their year because it's another year.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I sympathize with their fans because, again, it's just that organization. I mean, they can't get their games on TV half the time because nobody will show up. If Florida plays the Georgia, everyone shows up, but, they just can't get enough people in that stadium. So
that sounds an awful lot like the Raiders.
Yeah.
The Browns travel to New York to face off against my Jets. As much fun as it is to pick on the Jets, they got a lot of new tools. We got Fitzmagic starting in week one. I think the Jets are going to take this one, and I think you're going to see some running yards in this game.
I'm going Browns on principle. Principle, wow. Not because I think they're going to win. On principle.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I got to go with the Jets in this one, too. Cleveland is just a train wreck, man. When you guys talk about Jacksonville is a train, and Carolina doesn't have a lot of tools either. That game that we just talked about.
Carolina's all right, but Jacksonville's terrible.
I challenge you to name a Carolina wide receiver. Cleveland is terrible, just a train wreck. And yeah, I got to go with the Jets. I think you're right. They run for 300 yards and just call it good.
No, I think the Jets are going to win, but I'm going to still root against them and pick the Browns. That's
fair enough.
That's fair. Division rivalry dies hard.
It does.
The Seahawks go to Seattle, St. Louis to face the Rams. Now, what's interesting about this is I remember last year the Rams were absolutely killing it in their division. And I think I'm going to go with the Seahawks, but I'm going to say this is going to be a very, very close game. I think this is going to be like a 3.5-point game.
Yeah, I think this is a toss-up, really. Again, I think anytime you lose the Super Bowl, especially in the way that they lost it, usually the next year doesn't go too well for the losing team. And so I think that, I'm still going to go with the Seahawks, but you're definitely right. That may be a close one.
I think you guys are both right. It's when you lose the Super Bowl, you're sitting there and you're just stewing over it for the next 6 months. And then I think they've got a nice opening game. It's on the road against a bad team. I don't think the Rams, they're retooled, right? They've got a new quarterback. Nick Foles is under center for the Rams, so that's great. I think the Rams are going to be a decent team this year. I think this is just a tough start for them. But from what I hear, Seattle, much like the 49ers, has a horrible offensive line. And if your offensive line sucks, it doesn't matter who your quarterback is. If he's got 1 second to throw the ball every time, it's tough. So I don't know. I think Seattle's going to win. I don't think it's going to be that close, but I think it'll be a low-scoring game.
All right, next up we got the Miami Dolphins facing against the Washington Redskins. And I don't know what to make of this game. I hate the Dolphins. Please die in a fire, Dolphins. The team, Washington's a mess. I mean, if Washington wasn't a mess, I'd pick them purely on principle. And I hate the Dolphins, but I feel like I'm a homer if I don't pick the Dolphins, because it's just divisional hate driving that pick. So I'm gonna go with Dolphins.
So you're a better man than me. I wouldn't be able to. I think I'm gonna. I don't. And as long as we're not playing them, I don't hate the Dolphins. My father grew up in Miami, so as a kid, you know, Marino and everything, I always had a fond memories of that. So I don't hate the Dolphins as long as the Pats aren't playing them. But, I just don't see how they're going to lose to Washington, who just looks terrible. So, but I don't think either one will be very good this year. I think they both look like they're going to have a rough year. But I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
I feel like Miami finally has a quarterback that is decent. He's not great, but they finally have somebody who you can put under center and he can throw the ball. He's not very mobile, but from what I hear, he's a decent quarterback.
We'll see when they get. They've got a lot of tape on him now. You know, let's see how he is with a lot of tape. That's why a lot of these guys that you know, like the Michael Vicks of the world and those type of guys, they usually start off a good year, 2 years, and then they get tape on them, and then they have a hard time adjusting, and I think it's true to a lesser extent of all quarterbacks. You know, they've got a couple years of tape on him now. They know what he likes to do, what he doesn't like to do, and so we'll see, how he does now that they know how he plays pretty well.
It's you. Or it sounds like you're talking about Colin Kaepernick.
or any guy like that.
Any athletic run first quarterback, when you get a couple of years of tape on him, unless you're RG3, where like I don't think we could even put together 1 year of tape on him. After four seasons or whatever, I don't know. I just don't think I could actually pick the Redskins. Normally in a game like this, I would pick the home team, but I'm going to go Miami.
All right. The Saints go to Arizona to face the Cardinals. I think this might be my upset pick of the week. I think the Cardinals are going to beat the Saints.
I would pick Arizona. I think Arizona's just a better team. Didn't the Saints just like completely just – their team is so different now.
They self-destructed last season.
Yeah, much like the 49ers did. Yeah, I think the Cardinals are a decent team. I think they're just going to get better.
Yeah, I think they're –
They need to keep their players healthy.
Yeah, I think that –
I'm going to go with Arizona as well.
Yeah, if Carson Palmer can stay healthy, they've got a couple of young wide receivers. Did they bring Larry Fitzgerald back? I think they did.
Yeah, he's back.
And they've got my boy Andre. Is he hurt?
Yeah, he's hurt.
I think so.
They've got my boy Andre Ellington that they're just going to just dump a lot of passes off to in the backfield, and I'm all about that. So I think that I'll go Arizona on this one.
The Lions are facing off against the Chargers in San Diego. That's going to be an interesting game to watch. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know how to call that one because
two teams without any hope for the future.
Yeah, but I mean they're gonna put on a good game. I feel like both teams are gonna come out there and leave it on the field. I'm this early in the season. I'm gonna go with the Lions.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 2. Again, the Lions have just been generally a bad organization more than, you know, they've always had a good fan base. And it seems like the last few years they've tried to put a better team together. Chargers, again, they're looking to get out of that town. So we'll see, you know, what that does to morale.
I got to go Chargers on this one. I think the Chargers are the better team, and they're at home. Home field advantage in the NFL is a big deal.
It's huge. It is. I mean, for the spread to win, we'll see. But
well, yeah, I just think that I don't know. That's a good point too. I'll go with the Chargers here.
All right. So next matchup, which is a classic conference matchup, the Ravens go to Mile High to face off the Broncos. Now, normally I just give it to the Broncos on principle at home, but the Ravens do play a tough game. I'm going to go with Broncos, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I don't think they're going to run away with it. I think it's going to be another close game, but Broncos.
I'm going to go Broncos as well. And gentlemen, I actually have to get going at this point.
Drop off.
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks again. Thanks to everybody listening. I had a great time, and I hope everyone out there enjoyed themselves along with the two of you. And thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun. This is we're getting to sit around, smoke cigars, and drink beers and talk about them. So that's about as good as it gets. Yeah,
not that bad. Appreciate it, Terrence. We'll see you in a couple weeks on Cigar Chat. Actually,
yes, sir. Sounds good. Take care.
Have a great night.
You too. Take care. Bye.
All right, Robbie, what do you got there? Ravens versus Broncos.
Terrence is a great guy. I like Terrence.
He's such a great guy.
Logan and I had a chance to spend some time with them, the Casada folks. When we were in Miami last year, and they welcomed us into their office, and it was a lot of fun. You know, they were very, very, very hospitable, and it was a lot of hospitality. You know, and bringing us in Cuban coffee down there was great. What was the game again? I'm sorry.
Ravens go to Mile High to face off against the Broncos.
I got to take the Broncos, and I think you're right. I think it could be close, but if Peyton gets a couple of quick touchdowns, that could be it.
Okay. Another tough conference matchup. The Bengals go to Oakland to face off against the Raiders. Oh, Raiders, I feel so bad for you. Bengals, but again, I don't think it's going to be a huge game where Bengals are just going to rack up 10 points on them. I think it's going to be, a 4 or 5 point game. But I'm going to go with Bengals.
I'm going to take the Raiders. This is so weird. I'm going to take the Raiders. I think the Raiders are going to be a decent team this year. And I think this is actually going to be a high-scoring game.
Wow.
Because I like it's Derek Carr, not David. David's his brother.
Yeah.
I like Derek Carr. Amari Cooper's a stud. I think Michael Crabtree gives them some they've got a couple of decent wide receivers. They've got that kid, Latavius or Lotharius or whatever his name is in the backfield. I feel like they have a decent offense for a change. The Raiders can usually have a decent defense, but if they're on the field all the time, it's tough. I think the Raiders are going to win this game. But I think it's going to be one of those 31-28 type games.
Okay. Tennessee Titans go to Tampa to face off against the Buccaneers. Bucks at home. I'm going to go with the Bucks.
Now those are the two top quarterbacks that were drafted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was Tennessee took what the hell is his name? I want to say Mariota, but Mariota. So that's going to be an interesting game. Like that could be one of those where it's just offense running wild, or it could be 10-6.
No, I think you're right. I think that's going to be like each team. Like you're going to see a minimum of 20 points for each team.
You got to think, but I mean. Yeah. Half of those points could be scored by the defense on pick sixes. So who knows, man?
Who knows?
No, that's tough. In a situation like that, I take the home team. I would go with Tampa.
All right. Classic matchup for all the fans of football out there. The Giants versus the Cowboys in Dallas. As a Jets fan, I kind of have a grudge against the Giants. I kind of have a soft spot for Dallas. It's probably a mistake, but I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys and hope that Romo doesn't make a horrible, horrible mistake.
I think that you're right. I think it is. I think these are two mediocre football teams that people pay much too much attention to because they're the Giants and because they're in New York and because they're in Dallas. I think they're two very, very, very mediocre teams. Dallas has no running back. They have like eight shitty running backs.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're going to do with that, but yeah, I got to go Dallas. And I think the Giants are going to be just a bad football team.
All right, the Eagles go to Atlanta to face off against the Falcons. Now I've kind of been split on this game all week, and it's one of my pick weeks, and I'm not sure where to go with this. I'm going to go with the Eagles, but I feel like that game is like a 1.5 point game where it's going to go either way.
Yeah, that's the Monday night game. There's two Monday night games.
There's two Monday night games.
Is that every week?
No.
I feel like it's every week.
No, they usually only have you might have – well, no, I shouldn't say that. There might be two Monday night games now because I know they're getting pretty big on the Monday night
– Yeah, that's unreal. Two Monday night football games. Philadelphia at Atlanta. I think this is going to be one of those track meet type games, and I just feel like Atlanta has more firepower.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I know that Chip Kelly has the Eagles doing, you know, 10 more plays per game than other teams, yada, yada, who cares. Yeah, I got to go. I'm going to go with my boy Julio Jones. He's going to have 300 yards and 6 touchdowns.
All right. And then to wrap it up with the evening game, the Vikings versus the 49ers.
How in the shit did the 49ers get the Monday night game?
On I don't know. I mean, the Jets go to face off the Colts next Monday, so that'll be a freaking gong show. But I don't know, man. I'm going to go with the 49ers just on principle because they're at home. I feel like this is one of those games where I'm just going to pick the home team.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, man. I don't feel like the 49ers are going to be good this year. I think they've got some tools. And if Kaepernick can take that step forward that he was supposed to take last year, they could score some points, and their defense is nowhere near as good as they were last year, so they're going to need to score some points to win.
Yeah.
I think they can run the ball still with that. Hyde is like a Frank Gore clone, and now they've got Reggie Bush catching the ball out of the backfield. And that rugby player kid looked really, really good.
That guy's a beast. Did you see him knock that?
Yeah.
Just crush that guy.
I
don't
know.
I'm sorry, are you on the offense or the defense? Because you just got run over, son.
I don't know how much he's going to do on offense. I mean, I don't think they're going to put him – he's not going to be carrying the ball. He's definitely not going to be back there in pass protection. You know, in the return game, if he gets a chance to do it, I know they're going to have Reggie Bush back there a little bit too, or at least they have been in the training camps. I don't know, man. I think that – the Niners are actually lucky here. I think this is a game they can win, although I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to have a pretty good year. I think this is a game that the 49ers win maybe 28-24 type situation.
Yeah.
It's going to have to be that way for them to win.
All right. Well, we'll see next week how awful our predictions are because one is always a gong show in the NFL. Tune in tomorrow night. Of course, we've got Ezra Zion. We've got Chris and Kelly on. And I'll be sitting in and
I'm going to be at jury duty.
You're going to be at jury duty, which is never any fun.
No, bad times, man.
I'm going to try to keep Logan from swearing every 5 minutes.
I believe that they're all going to be at Logan's house from what So you can really just pour yourself a scotch, get a cigar going, and just sit there.
I think that's an excellent idea. I'm going to see if I have a tantrum left in the humidor, which I think I do. I have one tantrum left. And I'm going to fire it up with some really old whiskey and just watch them go at it and just be like, yep, I have to bleep that out.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you sitting in for me. I'm bummed that I'm going to miss it. I'm going to be doing my civic duty. Maybe I'll be home by then. Who knows? If I am, I'll jump in.
That'll be fun. Yeah, just jump in.
I'll just show up and I'll just be quiet.
All garbages.
Like last week, we had a random guy show up. No, this is a lot of fun. The beers are good. The cigar's good.
You know, it's a really like, and you know me, I tend to sort of gravitate towards medium plus full. So I kind of poo-poo on a lot of Dominican cigars unfairly because this is a really good cigar. I mean, it's a longer cigar than I normally smoke. Ring gauge is still, I think he said it's a 49 ring gauge. Box press is nice, but it smokes really, really well. And I like, Yeah, we've been drinking some beer, but it's been an enjoyable cigar for the entire pairing experience.
Yeah, no, for real. I mean, it's tough to really enjoy something, and when you have somebody on the show, it seems like you're just pandering to your guest. But I do like Terrence a lot as a person. There are some Casada releases that I'm not that big of a fan of. But the Oktoberfest I look forward to every year, and this one in this particular size, it was just really enjoyable. I mean, I'm right down here to the nub here, so
I've just been puffing away like a dragon, man.
Just raging on it.
And, so good.
And the pairings, I mean, it doesn't hurt that I've had three beers while I've been smoking it too. So you can actually get all three of these and just have one cigar and call it good.
Yeah, and honestly, what I think was interesting is we did go with three. You know, they're all supposed to be the same style, but they're different. Like each, they're remarkably different, actually, even within the same sort of style.
Yeah, Jared says don't poo-poo Dominican cigars, and I think he's right. I mean, there's a lot of good Dominican stuff out there that that can get overlooked. So, anyway,
all right.
On that note.
Thanks very much for everyone who stuck with us this whole time. If you've enjoyed the live broadcast, even if you've enjoyed the podcast, make sure to go to YouTube, like our videos. We get a lot of love that way. And subscribe to our channel if you aren't already subscribed to get the latest content. You know, we haven't really followed the recommendation that we always make of drink better and drink less. We've definitely drank better, but we didn't drink less tonight. But thanks very much for our listeners, and tune in tomorrow night for Cigar Chat with Ezra Zion. We'll be there. We'll have a good time.